Thank you. It is a real blessing and a privilege and an honor to be able to preach God's word. I love bringing the gospel to you. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than preaching about Jesus and telling you about a Savior who will wash you clean and take away all the guilt, take away all the condemnation that you have, give you something to live for, some peace, some joy, happiness, contentment. I mean, true peace on the inside. I mean, you can't have that in this world. Jesus said, "The peace I give you, the world cannot give." And I learned that the hard way. I knew that was true. The man of God preached those scriptures many times as I was a young boy growing up in the church. He preached that all the time about a peace that Jesus would give that would surpass all the things that the world could give you. And yet, I still didn't believe it. You see, this flesh dies hard. This flesh has to learn the hard way most of the time. It's never the easy way. The right way and the good way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father, no man can go to heaven, but by Him." He's the door that leads into the sheepfold. And if you try to sneak up any other way, you try to sneak in the back door, go in the side door, any other door outside of Jesus, the Bible says that you'll be counted the same as a thief and a robber. You'll be in that same boat, that same crowd as a thief and a robber. You'll say, maybe, "I've never stole from anybody. I've never robbed anyone." But yet, the Bible equates you as an unbeliever, somebody that's never been born again. You're the same as a thief and a robber. And we all are. We're all in unbelief. That's why the children of Israel, some of those didn't get to see go into the promised land because of an evil heart of unbelief. And that's a type of picture of today. Many people are not going to heaven when they die because of their evil heart of unbelief. And that's the only thing that'll send you to hell. None other sin in this life is going to send you to hell except for an evil heart of unbelief. Because a heart of unbelief will cause you to commit other sins. It will cause you to go to drugs and alcohol. It will cause you to be a sex fiend and to be somebody that's just condemned and just bound up with those things. All that is caused by an evil heart of unbelief. And it's also caused by these people that stand behind the pulpits and they will not preach against sin. I'll tell you, that's an abomination. Abomination standing where it ought not, just like the book of Daniel talks about. And that's the problem today. Too many so-called ministers are playing church instead of really laying down the gospel and preaching against sin. You have to preach against sin. If you don't, then how can somebody know that they're living in sin? How can they know the things that they're doing are wrong? Somebody's got to tell them. We all have a God-given conscience, and after a while, that conscience gets seared with a hot iron, and you just bypass it. You'll make excuses for yourself. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not trying to be harsh or critical. I'm speaking from experience. You see, the things I was doing, I knew they were wrong, but the devil has a way of just sweeping under a rug, and he's saying it's not so bad, and he is the king of saying it's not so bad. That's how he gets you, just a little bit at a time, you see, because God gives us a mind, God gives us a conscience, and if we really want to obey it and want to pay attention to it, when we're doing things that are wrong, God's there to tell you. He'll speak to you softly, but that boisterous voice, that voice that's real cunning, that voice that's real deceptive, that's the voice of the devil. He's there, and he creeps in just like a serpent, just like that serpent did to Eve. And that was the devil himself. He got into the form of a serpent, and he beguiled her. And he's still doing that today. He takes on many forms, and his form today is these so-called ministers. They are spiritual pimps, spiritual puppets, and the devil used them, and he uses all of them, most of them, to deceive the people. And I don't blame the people for that. I blame the so-called minister. He's given place to that. They have never been able to come to the knowledge of truth. They are ever learning. I mean, they learn about it all. They go to school for it. They go and learn about the Bible. They learn how to preach. And they learn all these different types of things. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And I'm thankful that I do know the truth. I'm nothing special. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm full of holes. But I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest with the Lord. Because if I can't be honest with the Lord, there's no way I could preach the gospel. There's no way I could help you. But I'm thankful with His help, He can help you through me. He can use these lips of clay to give you the message of salvation. And that's what the man of God did for me. He preached about a man called Jesus that would die for me. And I knew all my life that Jesus was the Son of God. He had preached to us about it, and He lived it. He lived the gospel in front of us. But just believing that in my mind didn't save me. You see, it takes more than that. From the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You got to believe from your heart. You can't just believe from the head. We can't just have a head knowledge and a lip service and an empty heart. He's got to fill your heart with His presence, with His personal presence, you see, and that's what I have. When I got saved and born again, that's what I received immediately. That precious Holy Spirit that directs me and guides me and gives me understanding, gives me wisdom. I'll tell you, because I am dumb, I'm ignorant when it comes to many things. But one thing that I do know is that I've been saved and born again. And another thing I know is that I can tell you how to be saved and born again. He's put that in me. And I'm thankful to know that. And I remember before I got saved, I had been preached to many, many years, over and over and over. And I had heard the Word of God and rejected it. And God didn't owe me another chance. He didn't owe me the Word of God coming around a second time and dealing with me. But I'm thankful that it did. Somebody was praying for me. A church was praying for me. And a man of God was continuing to preach to us. And I'm thankful that he didn't give up on me. I'm glad that God didn't give up on me. And if you're listening today, God has still got His plan for you. And all you got to do is receive Him into your heart. And that's what it took for me. Like I said, all my life, I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew that He died for my sins. I knew He was the Savior. And all I had to do was receive Him. I knew those things. I knew it because it was preached to me. But you see, it never got to that point where I wanted it. That's what it took. It was just like that man in the Philippian jail. That jailer came after Paul and Silas were thrown in jail wrongfully. They were singing praises to God, and they were just singing and having a good time in the Lord. And the Lord shook the prison, and the gates were open, and all the shackles fell off all those men. And that jailer thought for sure he was going to die. He thought for sure that, well, they're going to kill me for letting all these prisoners out. They're taking off running, no doubt. They're gone. But yet Paul, with a loud voice, he cried. He said, "Do thyself no harm, sir. We're all here." And that jailer came in, and he asked a very important question. And I saw this in a way I'd never seen it before. But he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, he wanted to be saved. That's exactly what it takes. If you want to be saved, God will absolutely speak to you. And it'll be plain, too. It won't be muddled. It won't be a deceitful voice like the devil brings. It'll be a still, small voice that you'll know exactly what you need to do. If you've ever been preached to in your life, that Word of God will come again, because the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides us asunder. It, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it'll show you the very seeking intent and thought of your heart. It'll show you exactly where you stand with God. And if you've ever heard the Word of God before, and it'll come right back to you. That's exactly what happened to me when I finally started seeking after God. I was 23 years old. I was bottoming out. I was sick and tired of the guilt, tired of living in sin. It didn't bring me any satisfaction. It pleased the flesh just for a short moment, but after a while I'd get tired of it again, and I'd try something else. I mean, the devil has something for everybody. You'll do one thing, and you may be satisfied with it for a year or two, but after a while, the satisfying of that flesh is going to wear off. It'll be just as empty on the inside as you've ever been. And it'll only get worse. That empty void will just grow bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why people commit suicide. They have an emptiness on the inside. They don't see any point of living. But they don't understand that there's a life after this one. We don't just die in this life and then cease to exist. That's foolishness. That is contrary to the Bible. The Bible says that we are made a living soul. We have souls in us. We have a real us that it's going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. There's no in between. Don't let the devil lie to you about a state of purgatory. Purgatory is down here. It's called purgatory. He's got to purge you from your dead conscience, and you got to have that here on this earth. And the only way to receive that is to come to Him just like you are. When you hear the Word of God, come to Him. Be obedient. To obey is better than the sacrifice. Come to Him when He's speaking to you, and that's when you'll get saved. And that's when I came to Him. He came and spoke to me again. When I started seeking after Him, when I started really paying attention in church, when the man of God would preach the gospel and he would lay it down and I would start to really listen and pay attention. I wanted it. That's what it took, and that's what that jailer was talking about when he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He really wanted to know, and that's what it took. And that's he asked the right man. He asked Paul, the apostle, the greatest preacher that there's ever been. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is just that simple, my friend. All you got to do is believe on Him. When He comes to you and He makes Himself known to you by His Word, by a man of God preaching to you, by somebody witnessing to you, if you take heed to the Word of God, when He speaks to your heart, I guarantee He will exactly save you at that moment. That's what it took for me. It took me pouring out my heart to Him. You see, I'm stubborn. I've always been stubborn. I've always had a stubbornness in my flesh, and that's what it took for me. It took me breaking down all my pride, and He had to do it. I'll tell you, I said, "Lord, I'm sick of the way I am, sick of the way I'm living. I can't live on like this any longer." The man of God said, "If I die in my sin, if I die the way I'm living now, I'll go to hell." I said, "Lord, I do not want to go to hell. I want to be in heaven. When I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to live for You. I want to serve You. I know that's where the joy and peace is, because somebody's told me and somebody preached to me. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I didn't just all of a sudden believe this from the heart on my own. God does all the work by His precious Holy Spirit. You see, He sent forth His Son to die for the sins of the entire world. The Bible says, "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means everybody, "whosoever believeth in Him and on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you see, so you must realize and understand that there's a life after this one. There's an eternal life awaiting you, and all you got to do is receive it. He's died for you. He's the greatest gift ever known to mankind. He is my best friend. He's the best friend I've ever known. Nobody could surpass the friend that He is to me. And when He becomes personal to you, when He saves you, you'll never know a better friend than the man called Jesus. He'll be there with you. He'll make Himself known to you. When you study Your Word and study the Bible and you pray, He'll make Himself known to you. This isn't just a fairy tale. This is real. This is alive. I can't put it into words. I'm too short. I'm too ignorant to put it into words. This is something you got to experience for yourself. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why it's so hard for people to understand. They don't want to have faith. They don't want to believe. Come to Him just like this Philippian jailer did and say, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And God will make Himself known to you, and He'll save you. Just pour out your heart to Him, and He'll have mercy on you. He'll save you, and He'll give you a new start, a new life, and it'll be wonderful. I see my time is gone. Pray for us. In Jesus' name, amen.